It is 13 past nine at Sky Sports Radio. Steve McMahon is the CEO of the New South Wales Trainers Association, and the announcement came through earlier this week that it looks like at the end of December 2016, training will cease at the Gosford Complex. Steve joins you now. Morning, Steve.
Yeah, good morning, Sean.
Well, this has certainly garnered a varied response, and you're going to have a meeting tomorrow with the trainers.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be over at Gosford tomorrow to discuss this with the trainers and also James Heddo and Michael Cusack from the Gosford Race Club, and just to get the view of the majority of trainers, although I've got a pretty good idea what that is already, and just work out where we go from here.
All right. From the feedback you've had so far from trainers, what's the reaction been, Steve?
Oh, look, the majority of trainers that I've spoken to are very concerned, surprised. They're worried about their future, and basically they don't want training at Gosford to cease.
Okay. Have there been many who've said, look, okay, we're fine?
Oh, look, we had John McNair on yesterday, and he's entitled to his point of view. And look, we're not averse to consolidating training in New South Wales. We've actually been advocating for a more sustainable training plan in which the resources are put into training. Race New South Wales have talked in the past about centres of excellence where they invest heavily in certain tracks and regions, and we're not averse to that. But what we are averse to is having a decision made without a plan going forward. There's been discussions about perhaps we can train at Wyong and improve the facilities there. Well, there's been no money allocated to that. There are no stables built there. There's no room at the moment. And without a plan moving forward, that just creates doubt and worry for these trainers, many of which have got kids in school at Gosford. They've got properties there, jobs there. Jobs are hard enough for young people in Gosford as it is. And I think this just adds unnecessary pressure. And in the absence of a plan moving forward and a clear strategy, that's our worry.
Steve, what are the options for these trainers? Obviously, you've sat down and had a bit of a think.
Yeah, well, look, clearly, the first option is that we actually improve the training facilities at Gosford and life goes on. Now, Gosford is in a pretty good shape financially, and they're a very well-run club. My concern is that if Gosford is allowed to cease training, then what message does that send to other tracks across New South Wales? Because the reality is there is not very much money for race clubs when it comes to training, but the industry needs it, because if you don't have trainers and you don't have training centres, you don't have racehorses racing on the race day, which means you don't have punters, which means the industry starts to die. So we need to ensure that there is a proper strategy going forward. So that's option one. We keep training at Gosford. Other options, I guess, are to improve the facilities and expand the facilities at nearby Wyong. That's not going to work for everyone. So there needs to be a strategy adopted for each particular trainer to make sure that the staff are looked after and the industry jobs are kept moving forward. So there's a long way to go. There's you know, the council, there's the MPs. I've already been contacted by many in the community there that have got concerns. We need to engage with all those stakeholders. My concern was that this should have happened before it came out. It was unfortunate the way it's come out, but it has now, and we've got to deal with it.
Do you see the future being that this may be the start of where we head towards just simple major training centres and a reduced number?
No, I don't see major training centres. I actually would welcome them. But there needs to be a plan with real dollars and real figures and real consultation in developing that plan. I've heard centres of excellence have been mentioned in Racing New South Wales strategic plan for years gone by, and I think that they're worthy of pursuing. But they need to be backed up by dollars. Needs to be a time frame so that trainers can prepare themselves, and we need to bring everyone along for the ride. My concern here is that Gosford have made a decision in the best interest, I suppose, of the Gosford Race Club in their view of the board, but there are ramifications. I'm sure that there are directors in other committees out in country New South Wales that are thinking, oh, well, maybe we could save a couple of bucks if we got rid of training. But you've got to look at the bigger picture and how that will impact on horse numbers in the races and the jobs in these communities.
We've seen refurbishment at Wyong. Would Wyong be an ideal centre for some trainers to go to if stables were able to be built, purchased, whatever, in the next 12 months?
Wyong would work for some trainers, but it won't work for all. And you've also got to consider the Wyong trainers there. I mean, we don't want to add extra pressure and extra horse numbers to the training facilities at Wyong. They've got a pretty tight track. They've got limited facilities as it is. There was an in-depth review that's been done a couple of times now. The former government did a review into merging Gosford and Wyong. Then there was the Singleton report. There's been a number of reviews. And the big problem at Wyong, of course, is there's different issues with flood mitigation and other environmental concerns. How much room is there? How much will it cost? And how quickly can it be done? These are all the questions that we would like answers to before a concrete decision is made to cease training at Gosford. And it may be that some trainers move on to other areas, but obviously Wyong is the closest and most practical.
Steve, how many horses are in work at Gosford?
Looking at some of the figures I've seen, I think over the course of a year, I think there'd be close to 1,000. I think the 2013-14 figures showed about 880 or something like that. So you give or take, you've got around about 1,000 horses over the course of a year.
It's a fair few to relocate, isn't it?
Oh, well, it is. And you know, the horses will still run around, but it's not just the horses. We're talking about staff. We're talking about, you just picture if you get told that your company's getting made redundant or you need to move 50 kilometres and it's not just you. You've got a lot of staff that have got other jobs and schools and uni and TAFE and the like, and it's a pretty big upheaval to your life. So it's not as simple as saying we're going to close down and that's it.
All right.
A lot more work needs to be done.
Now, tomorrow you're having a meeting with trainers, and I can imagine there will be some raised voices, I would imagine, but at the same time, I suppose you're going to welcome suggestions from those who can put something positive forward.
Well, yeah, we had a similar situation this 2 years ago. 2 years ago, the synthetic track at Gosford was showing signs of wear and tear and it needed to be either replaced or fixed. And what happened was, thanks to Peter Volandis at Racing New South Wales, and Gosford threw in some money as well, we were able to do a repair job on the Pro-Ride synthetic track there, and that gave it a two-year guarantee. But that guarantee is up next year. There's no reason to say that the track will cease to be safe after that year's period is up. So it could well be that track is still fine to go. It just means that the guarantee has been removed, and that's led to the trigger for Gosford to make this decision. But in that period of time, we had meetings with different people, and in the end, training at Gosford was saved. I think it's going to be more difficult this time because I think that it sounds to me that the Gosford Race Club have made their decision. They're now called the Entertainment Grounds and looking at other avenues to raise their money. But fundamentally, they are a race club. They still have races, and their money was built from the back of racing participants, members, enthusiasts, trainers, etc. And I think that we need to look at keep doing everything we can to keep training at Gosford in the absence of a plan moving forward.
Well, Steve, appreciate your time. You've got the meeting tomorrow. No doubt Hoss will catch up with you to find out the result of that. I'm just about to chat to Angela Davies, who's there at Gosford. She's a trainer there, and she's got to reassess things as well.
Lovely lady and a good trainer. So, yeah.
Good on you, Steve. All the best.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Steve. Steve McMahon there. And as you said, we spoke to James Heddo yesterday and to John McNair as well. And I suppose for some trainers who do have their own properties, that's going to make life a little easier. Angela Davies is one of those who doesn't, and so she's in a different boat. Morning, Angela.
Good morning.
Yeah, well, you're in a different situation altogether because you've got stables, and I think you've just invested money in a walking machine and so forth, and so you get a fair investment tied up there.
Yeah, well, I've just spent $50,000 upgrading my property, which is only about 5 km from the track. I've just put a horse walker in, a new horse walker, and we've just built about 6 new stables on top of the stables that I already had here. So that certainly leaves me in a very dire situation at Gosford, that's for sure.
What are your options, Angela? No doubt you've made a few calls and had a look and so forth. What are you looking at?
Unfortunately, we don't have any options. Wyong is completely full and won't take any more trainers. They have no stabling there, and they said they're at capacity. They've got 200 horses in work. So they don't want any more horses trained off Wyong. Newcastle also has no stabling, so we're at least 200 kilometres away from anywhere that we can train. So effectively that shuts us down, all the trainers from Gosford.
Now, the other situation, the other rub, I suppose, is the fact, as you said, you live there and you've got family there involved in school, sports, all sorts of things.
Yes, I've got my two children, my daughter's in high school. And, I mean, I was born and bred in Gosford, and I grew up when the old wooden grandstand was there. And, you know, we've watched this club grow and support the trainers, and unfortunately they've pulled that out from underneath us. They're a financial club with $4 million in the bank, and they're happy to continue to race and make money off racing, but they're not prepared to give a cent back, which is most unfortunate.
In your opinion, the track at the moment, they say the guarantee is up and the end of next year looks like it's it. What are your thoughts on the training services there? Are you happy with them?
Well, the only thing we need, you know, everything else is fine at that track. We do need a new pro ride track, but that is all we need. I mean, the grass, we've got a bee grass there. We've got an inside trotting track. We need a new pro ride. They only patched it up 18 months ago, and it was only ever going to be a patch-up job. But our argument is that there's been a lot of money given. I think Orange Race Club at Orange has been given $1.5 million. They have 20 horses worked on the track. So you justify that. And we had, I counted this morning, 98 horses worked off that track this morning at Gosford. And we have over 100 staff there. So, you know, what are you going to do with those people? Youth unemployment is so high on the Central Coast. What are all our strappers going to do and our young girls? I employ six. What do my young girls do, these young teenagers that have got work? We've got the highest unemployment in New South Wales on the Central Coast. Lucy Wicks was in federal parliament yesterday screaming about the youth employment on the Central Coast, yet they're allowing Gosford to shut down and cost over 100 jobs.
Well, you'll go to the meeting tomorrow, the training's one with Steve McMahon?
Yes, definitely.
As I said, I mean, there will be raised voices, obviously, but let's hope that people can come and put forward some positives to try and come up with a common solution for this that's going to work best for all.
Well, you know, at least, you know, like we put a lot into the industry and you know, we bring owners to the industry, we bring the horses, we supply the product, yet we have been treated with total disregard in this respect. We've had no help from anybody. There's no plan for our future. We have just been treated absolutely appallingly by the whole industry, really.
Well, Angela, we wish you all the best. Thanks for coming on this morning. And let's hope there's some positives come out of that meeting tomorrow.
I certainly hope so. But they need to really address all this unemployment and these poor people, myself included, that are going to lose all these jobs.
Terrific, Angela. Appreciate
Thank
your time.
You.
Angela Davies there from Gosford, and bringing up some very good points too, not just the train on the track, it's the rub off for all the people involved as well. And as I said, tomorrow at the meeting, they're having Steve McMahon, CEO of the New South Wales Trainers Association, meeting with the trainers. And let's hope some cool heads prevail and that some positives come out of it, that they can sit down and try and work out something one way or the other. It is 26 past nine on a bright note. Mel Fitzgerald had his first winner. Yes, well, not his first winner. He rode many. But his first winner was a trainer yesterday at Tuncurry with Love Life. And he joins me now. Congratulations. Good morning, Malcolm.
Good morning, Sean. Thank you very much.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic. Do you remember your first winner as a jockey?
Yeah, definitely on a horse at Mindora and Cooldurra King, Ronnie Quinn's hometown. So, yeah, it bolted on me. I couldn't hold it.
Now, listen, do you tell the kids out at the apprentices school when you're tutoring them there that it bolted on you?
Yeah, no, well, he did. He led. He led. My first five winners were on him, and he used to just love to run, and I was only 36 kilos and, you know, a little pimple on a pumpkin, and he used to just run. He'd lead by five and six and seven and eight, and he'd run them off their legs, and I couldn't do anything on him. I'd be like a little church mouse on him. But, yeah, definitely, that's how he won, mate.
Now, I mentioned you tutor the apprentices. There's an interesting bit of trivia. You, Malcolm Johnson, Maurice Logue, have looked after the apprentices, and I think you won consecutive Ramorny handicaps, about 91, 92, 93.
Yes, yeah, good vintage that. Nice to be included into that category, very nice.
Now, you've only got the two in work, you've got Love Life, and I think Campanology is the other one who's joined the stable, and this was only your third runner yesterday.
Yes, she was my third runner. Learned a lot after first up, and then... Yeah, she wasn't herself at Armidale at all, but we patched her up, Holly and I, and fixed her. And, yeah, she went enormous yesterday. Sammy's hands were the key. She's not an easy horse to ride by any means. And, you know, she just didn't move on her out of the gate and had a beautiful length of rein and, you know, just let her roll but breathe too. And she settled the best she settled, I thought, and that paid in the finish, so...
Now, just hearing your description of that, I started to smile, Malcolm, something, and hang on a minute, you've tutored a lot of these kids. You know who you're going to put on that'll suit your horse, and your description just reflected that.
Well, she's got beautiful hands. I mean, she's ridden, you know, since she was, you know, out of nappies here up on the mid-north coast, and both Drew Smith and myself and Mr. Cullen have had a lot to do with her and Miracle Mal in her tutoring and, you know, the trainers that she was with here at Port, and... over on Hunter, and, you know, she's grown as a young lady and also as a rider and, you know, a judgment, and she backs her own judgment now today more so than she did, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 months ago, which is what they got to do. You know, you're on the horse. You know, trainer's done his job, horse is ready, you do yours now. So, and if you have to use your initiative, then do it, you know, back yourself. And 9 times out of 10, if they do that, they're doing what they is correct. So, but she's a great kid. She's a credit to her family and the racing industry. So,
now, Mel, I've got to ask, paid $17. There's a little something on there as well.
Yeah, no, Holly and I had something on her. We, on her work, I thought she could win. I really did. And I said that to a few people, but I didn't know whether I was too soft on her, Sean. You know, it's like my third runner, so I'm learning so much as I'm going along. But she's a fresh horse, and she raced accordingly. She did pull up big, which we knew, but I was just hoping that she'd hold him off in that last bit. But, you know, Sammy contributed to her getting 1,000 and doing everything right by, you know, that beautiful length of rein and letting her roll and not fighting her. So, you know, we'll have a nice Christmas, put it that way, champ. Thank you.
Fantastic. It sounds like your description, you just wanted her to relax in the run.
That most important, mate. She's not, you know, she can be asleep underneath you when you ride her, and then in 2 strides, it's gone. Like, it'll just lift its head, and that's what she was when she came to me, and I just took her back to basics and put a roll on her and remouthed her and learned all the stuff that I'd learned off my dad and Tommy and, you know, all the horsemen that have helped me in my career as a rider and a horseman. And, you know, it helped yesterday. She's still, you know, not the easiest horse to ride, but, you know, she's come a long way in her mannerisms, put it that way. But she every now and again, she'll get you. She got me 5 weeks ago at the beach, so, I mean, don't worry, you got to keep your eye on her. But, yeah, she's very happy in the paddock, and she ate up well, so really, really happy.
Just quickly, 5 weeks ago, you and another young lady were riding horses on the beach, and I think you both finished up in the deck, didn't you?
Yeah, we did, Holly and I, we did. Yeah, she was there. We spent 7 days in hospital, Holly and I, and, you know, I'm on a no-fault policy. I am when I've got kids on horses. But, yeah, we got... I was all right. I got a fat bit, and, you know, Holly, she scratched the skull, but she's healed and she's back, and she got a clearance on Friday, so it was just brilliant that she could strap the horse, because she's done so much work behind the scenes with this animal. And, you know, that, you know, you're only as good as your staff, dead set. You're only as good as your truck work rider, and, you know, those people behind the scenes, like, I've known that because I've been a part of this industry for 30 years, but, you know, dead set, it's brilliant when you've got good staff and they can do the job that you can do. And little Holly Harrison from England, she's a bloody asset to me, I can tell you.
Well, mate, congratulations. Great to see you get the winner yesterday, Mal. Let's hope that the picket fence starts now.
Yeah, it will, champ. Don't worry about that.
Good on you, mate. Good luck.
Thanks, Sean.
Mel Fitzgerald there at 28-10 at Sky Sports Radio.